Lori 1330, WGTJ now presents the Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Gray Show. You can be a part of the program by calling us at 770-297-7485. In Dawsonville and Dahlonega, you can call 706-531-1330. And across the nation, you can call us toll-free at 866-876-9485. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and the callers and the guests of our program are not necessarily those of Glory 1330 WGTJ Radio. Now your host for today's program, Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Grace.
Shalom to everyone, and today we have a great show in our lineup.
We are so excited. This is Cynthia Grace speaking to you, the Garden Variety Christian. One thing I wanted to correct last week, Rachel put me on the spot, and I wanted to, if there was somebody out there screaming the text, it was Matthew 13, 37 through 39. So anyway, that was the text I was feverishly looking for last week and found it was about the separation of the wheat and tares in the garden, in a particular garden. So anyway, we are so glad that you're here today.
Also, we wanted to let you know that today, and almost every week, we're going to give away a $25 Visa card. And we're going to ask a question. And instead of trying to make you really, really think too deeply, we're going to give you the question, and then Cindy's going to give you the verse in the Bible. Whoever calls in with the answer, 25 buckaroos. Today's question is, how long did Jacob have to wait to wed Rachel after being tricked into marrying Leah? Let me just repeat that. How long did Jacob have to wait to wed Rachel after being tricked into marrying Leah? Cindy's going to give you the scripture. Whoever calls in and gets it right gets a $25 Visa card.
All right, that scripture that will help you is Genesis 29, 27 through 28.
Okay, now on to what's happening today. We have Yair Davidi that's calling in from the old city of Jerusalem in Israel. And we're so excited. If you have ever heard anybody go to depths about the lost tribes of Israel, we guarantee that this is the person that will outshine anyone else on that topic. Not only do we appreciate his calling in, and of course we're going to ask him some question about on-the-ground feelings of the Israelis right now with everything going on in the Suez Canal and the Middle East on fire, but also his topic of the lost tribes, there is no one that can rival it. He's written extensively, scholarly, and exceptionally about where and who the lost tribes are. And we're so excited. Cindy is always glued to his books as well as I am.
I will say about a year ago, or maybe a little bit longer, I one night was thinking, what happened to the lost tribes? So I started a search on the web. And the first name that came up, prominent, was Yair Davidi. And so I started studying what he had to say. My goodness, I love history. History is my thing. And the scholarly work that this Australian-born Jewish scholar.
And he's Orthodox, and we just love him because, like Cindy's saying, the work that he has done, it is like a puzzle that gets put together. And we really encourage, we're actually going to post where to get his books, because when you have studied as much as he has, it just opens up all new arenas. And we're hoping that Yar is on the line. But he's coming on the line. This is the problem when you are calling intercontinental across the sea all the way over to Israel. We're trying to get the connections, but we really think this is going to be a great show.
And we're also talking about a time difference, just for your information. It'd be about dinner time for them right now. But he is real excited about being able to get on this program with us to bring you up to date with what is going on, because only they can tell us. We're not there. We hear it through our news media, but are we hearing what's really happening and what the pulse is? Well, he will know and be able to share with us. Just a little bit interesting, more about his work on the lost tribes. I don't know about you, but as a garden variety Christian, I often wondered what happened to those people. And he apparently did too. And we will ask him what made him research this group of people and find this so interesting to share with us. But just an amazing, amazing thing that it will help us even understand our scriptures better.
Well, ladies, we have a caller on the line. It's not Yardavidi yet. We got his voicemail a few moments ago when we called Israel, but we do have a caller on the line who wants to answer the trivia question you've got.
What? Already?
There
yes,
goes
ma'am. 25 buckaroos. Okay, let's hear it.
Is it 7 years?
No.
That's what I thought. It's not 7 years?
No. Got to read it a little.
Go back and read that. I'm so glad you called. Get back, crack open that Bible, and read the text. Although, he has to work for 7 years. There was only a length of time before he was actually given Rachel. Now get to that book and call us back.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Well, we're hoping that Yair can get to a telephone. We know that the lines have been busy, busy over there because, look, what's happening is the Middle East is on fire. So it does not shock me that it's hard to get through because I'm sure a lot of people that are over here, family for Yair, are wondering if he's okay, what the pulse is. We're not the only ones. We hope we're his favorite ones because he certainly is one of our favorites. And also knowing what happened in New Zealand is so shocking about that earthquake that's going on over there. I mean, this world is crumbling right before our eyes, and it's like the book of Revelation opening itself up.
You know, yesterday, one thing I've learned with studying with Rachel is that what I thought and had trained and read, when you are trained a certain way or you remember something a certain way, you continue to read it that way. And this is what this question is about today, kind of getting it in your mind, how we have set it in our mind, and it becomes gospel.
Right.
And then we realize, oh, my goodness, I've been reading this wrong. And this is, kind of where we are. I went back to the Olivet Discourse yesterday to really just get it in my mind over and over and over again. And Rachel and I were talking about it, the Matthew 24 and 25, in case you didn't know those scriptures. Now, I got it right. But anyway, it really is describing the times. The disciples asked the Messiah, what would be the sign? And so he, elaborated on this, and it has really been eye-opening what we're seeing today.
Yeah, and I hate to usurp the garden variety Christian, but this Orthodox Jew on the line is going to take precedence all the way.
All right.
We're so glad you're here, Yair.
Okay.
How are you?
Thank you. Thank God very well.
I say the same. Listen, we want to talk, first of all, a thank you for joining us. And also, we really want to talk about your books about the lost tribes. So we're going to pose some questions to you and hope that you can give our listeners some answers.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay.
Well, first of all, Yair, this is Cynthia Grace, and it's such a privilege to have an opportunity to talk to you. Thank you so much. I would like for you to tell a little bit about yourself to our listeners, how you got started in the study of the Lost Tribes, and, kind of your adventure in this getting started there, and just kind of bring them up to date.
Okay, Cynthia. Well, I live in Israel. I was born in Australia, and until I was 22, 23, I came to Israel. Whilst I was in Australia, I came across the idea that the Lost In tribes were in Western nations amongst Western peoples. And I tried to do some research, independent research of my own in Australia, but I did not get very far. Anyway, so I came to Israel and was born Jewish. I started learning in yeshiva at different rabbinical institutions. And in addition to that, I always had an ongoing strong interest in history. And over the course of time, both from rabbinical sources and from learning the Torah and biblical commentators and contemporary affairs and ongoing historical insights, the conviction within me grew that there might be something in the idea that the Lost in Tribes were amongst Western peoples, especially the so-called English-speaking nations. So I undertook an intensive study of this subject and over a great number of years, and I, through personal circumstances, I was unable to dedicate myself full-time to this. And I came to the conclusion that it was true, that there is something in the idea, that the idea is correct. The Lost Ten Tribes did become lost. Originally 12 tribes of Israel. They separated into two separate kingdoms after the death of King Solomon. They set up their two independent kingdoms, and this is spoken of in the Bible, spoken of at some length. Most of the books of Chronicles concern this, and also many of the prophets spoke of it. So some of the prophets spoke of this at great length. The book of Hosea and other biblical books are dedicated almost entirely to this subject. So too is much of Amos. So it's very important, and they speak of it very much. And the ten tribes did become separated from the southern kingdom of Judah, and from the kingdom of Judah, the present-day Jews, or the core element of the people, of those who became the present-day Jewish nation, arose. Most of Israelite nation were exiled by the Assyrians. They lost their identity, but historically they retained the cohesion as ethnic groups, as recognizable groups in history, and they moved through different processes. Different groups split up into different sections and moved into different areas, but they all eventually converged in Western Europe. And many of them also settled in the British Isles, in Ireland and Britain, Scotland, Wales, and those the areas around there, including parts of France, Holland, the Scandinavian countries, and Belgium. And they, from there, that's where the ten tribes are. They're not saying that everyone in those areas is descended from the tribes of Israel. I'm saying that if you want to look where the ten tribes are, that is the countries in which they are to be found, and by extension, so it also holds that the peoples who evolved from these areas, who emerged from these areas, including the USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, also derived from the tribes of Israel, and the biblical prophecy confirms this. Biblical prophecy confirms the results we come to through a study of history, of linguistics, and mythology. And also we found new evidence, not only in contemporary historical researches and secular evidence from historical studies, but also in rabbinical sources we found results that confirmed these findings. And everything altogether shows that these people do descend from those tribes of Israel, and they have a duty to become aware of this in our time. This was part of the divine plan, part of divine providence that had its own purpose for this process to occur. And in our time, it is imperative upon all of us to know this, to be aware of it, to study the subject, and to recognize this truth.
Yeah, this is Rachel. Where can people go to find your website at BritAm?
So we have a website at www.britam.org, BRITAM.ORG, and on our website we have literally thousands of articles dealing with the subject and we discuss nearly every conceivable aspect of this subject in some detail. Also, I have an ongoing email discussion group, and we accept questions and queries concerning anything whatsoever that somehow or other is connected with the idea of the Ten Tribes, and especially with the Ten Tribes being in amongst Western peoples.
You know, I'm always shocked. Of course, you and I communicate via email often. I'm always surprised at the different areas that people are emailing you from. It's not just Britain or the U.S. It's everywhere across the board. So many people are
interested in this subject. Has it become more of an interest lately, or has it always been throughout your study?
No, from the beginning, we had people from all over the world got in contact with us. People from all over the world have been interested in this subject, in this, not only, especially people who we believe to be sent from the tribes of Israel, but not only them, also other peoples. We have a Muslim from China, from Malaysia. We have a Chinese man from Singapore, another one from Hong Kong, people from Japan. We have people from Africa, people from South America, Italy, and also especially from the nations that we identify as belong to Lost and Tribes, people from Finland, Holland, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, all over the world, as you say, all over the USA, all over in Canada, South Africa, Australia, all nearly every place in the world at some time or other, there have been people who contacted us and discussed this subject with us, and some of them are scholars in their own right. A lot of them are people who have done researches in parallel areas, and they all contribute and also criticize and debate with us, and through all of this activity, we sometimes reach new conclusions or refine existing conclusions, and we are open to criticism, we are open to admit we are wrong if we are wrong, or to refining or modifying statements or conclusions that we've already reached if the evidence points in that direction.
No, I agree totally, because I read all of them. Everything that you send me, I don't just peruse it. I study it and read it, and I see that it stretched us to really dig deep. You can't just give a one-word reply to some of the letters, because like you said, there's a lot of scholars on there that are looking for it, not necessarily even in agreement, but at least reading what you say and then giving some information back. And it is wonderful to have somebody to question it, because the more someone questions, I feel the better answer that you give. And I'm glued to that. To me, that is, it's honey to me. I absolutely love it. Which one of your books, because there's many, would you think would be the best starter for somebody that's interested in your work?
Well, I would say either Origin, the book Origin summarizes everything, but it's a short book, relatively short. It's several hundred pages long, but it's relatively short and it summarizes everything. We have a larger book for people who want something a little bit heavier, which is both an introduction with a great amount of detail, that is called The Tribes. So either The Tribes or Origin are the two books I would recommend. As an introductory introduction to their studies.
Oh, Yara, I had the book Tribes, and oh, it's like reading a textbook. It's very detailed, but my friends.
So we have, as I said, we have Origin, which is lighter,
right,
and more for the general reader, I would say.
And you might want to start there, and then if that piques your interest, you definitely want to get the Tribes. It is a fabulous book.
Yara, tell us, I just have to ask you this for our listeners also, how is everybody on the street in Israel, or the majority of people, feeling about what's happening in the Middle East right now?
So the thing is, in Israel, people are calm. I mean, the house could be burning down, but the people inside it are quite composed. You know the feeling. You know, everyone
course.
Around is horrified, but the people who are actually concerned, who are in the center of things, carrying on business as usual. I'm exaggerating a little bit. We have here's some degree of apprehension. There's a certain fear that what is happening elsewhere could also happen here. Also, it shows us how volatile the whole region is. We're relying on, not all of us, but a certain section of the population was dependent upon the peace treaty with Egypt. Thought we would have a peace and quiet on our southern borders, and Egypt is a very powerful, large, populous, powerful nation. And we had gone to war with her in the past, and we had reached some type of agreement, and it was assumed that this agreement would continue in the interests of both countries, but this could change overnight. We don't know what's going to happen now in Egypt. We also don't know what's going to happen in Jordan. In Jordan also there are disturbances. Also, what's happening now in Libya could also have repercussions throughout the region. It just shows that the world can change overnight. Also, God forbid, we see what's happening in New Zealand, which is a long way away. But we should take a notice of it, that things can change overnight. The world does not necessarily continue along the same pathways that we assume it will do.
It's funny you
so
would
we
say...
We have to trust in the Almighty, pray to God, learn the Bible, and live good lives, and to be and go in strength and purpose of world direction.
Right, from strength to strength. I'll tell you, it's funny that you would put some humor into it, because I called my cousin that lives in Haifa, and I asked him, Avi, how are you doing over there? He was saying, I'm doing terrible, and I thought he was going to talk about the news. He had lost a contact lens. That was his big problem. So you're right, the people that are Israeli citizens, of course they're on alert, but they're not sweating bullets over something, because they have lived under this for years. Sometimes in America we don't understand that their life goes on, and they have a government that kind of keeps a watch, and so do the people, but it's not as stressful as we think it is. I was wondering about, with the things going on in the Suez Canal, has anybody mentioned that or worried about that over there?
Yeah, the people are apprehensive. They, first of all, they don't want, they're apprehensive for two reasons. Just recently, the Persian warships passed through the Suez Canal, and they're going to a port in Syria. I think they've already reached there. And I understand that at governmental levels, the consideration was broached to take these vessels over and check what was inside of them. So in the last minute, this decision was changed. It was a confrontation was averted, but it could change any minute. So that's one thing. The Persia, Iran, is starting to make use of the Suez Canal in a potentially antagonistic manner, mm-hmm. which is cause for worry. In addition to that, we have a southern neighbor. Egypt has now changed. The government has changed. Apparently, the Muslim Brotherhood is in the background, or Muslim Islamic elements. Is information that extreme Islamic elements are liable to take over, or already have a certain degree of control. For the moment, they're letting their liberal factions speak for them. They're presenting a frontage of freedom for people who believe in human freedom and human dignity and so on. This could all may only be temporarily. This might be just for the sake of a show, as if to say, to make a reasonable impression at least for the time being. We don't know how things will turn out.
Let me ask you: do you think there's anything in the Hebrew Scriptures that pointed to any kind of thing that's happening today with all this Middle East crisis?
No, I can't say at the moment. There are verses that Egyptian brother will fight against brother, and some people have pointed to those verses. The other verses that talk about future wars with Egypt, but I don't like to be specific, because this happens all the time. It's an ongoing thing, and no one can really say that this is the specific incidents that I referred to. But in general, we can be pretty certain from all kinds of signs in the Bible that we're not necessarily in the end times, but we are getting closer to the end times. And the prophets did prophesy mainly for the end times. They sometimes presented their prophecies in terms of what was happening in their times, in what they saw with their own eyes, but they took the description of what was happening in their own time, and they projected it, as if to say, into the future. And we may be fairly certain that a good deal of biblical prophecies are about to take place in the near future.
Okay. You need to take a break.
I haven't really answered your question.
You answered it perfectly. I think sometimes we read more into what the scripture actually says because we're looking to put the pieces together. We do see that there certainly is a lot of things that are going on. And like I've always said, that piece of land, Israel, is the size of a postage stamp, and it's always got all eyes on it. and it's standing as an oasis on its own. And it is interesting to see, Yair, that every newspaper in every town always has something about Israel. Somebody is always watching Israel. Now, could you stay with us while we take a quick break?
Yes, I'll be happy to.
Okay, thank you, friend.
All right, thank you very much. You are tuned to Glory 1330 WGTJ and Glory1330.com. We're going to pause for state news from the George News Network. We'll be back with more, part two of the Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Grace Show on Glory 1330 WGTJ and online at Glory1330.com. Coming up next, state news from the Georgia News Network here on this Wednesday morning. Welcome back to the Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Grace Show on Glory 1330 WGTJ. You can be a part of the show today by calling 770-297-7485. In Dawsonville and Dahlonega, it's 706-531-1330 and toll-free nationwide at 866-876-9485. The views and opinions expressed by our host, our callers, and our guests are not necessarily those of WGTJ Radio. Now with part two of the Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Gray Show, here's Rachel and Cindy.
Okay, we've got Yair on the phone holding for us from Israel. And we are so thankful. We really want to promote his work. I believe in it completely. And Cindy's going to have some questions for you, Yair.
Well, Yair, since we're in America, and I've been one of your students that you didn't even know about, but I've been studying and trying to share with people what happened to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. And I would love for you to share that information with our listeners today.
Okay. So Ephraim and Manasseh are the two sons of Joseph. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yes.
And they when Jacob blessed Joseph, he said that his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, would be accepted as tribes in their own right. That's what they were. They each became independent tribes in their own right, and they conquered parts of the land of Israel. Later, they were exiled with the 10 tribes. And most of the 10 tribes, or the overwhelming majority of the 10 tribes, eventually merged. Converged into areas of Western Europe, and we have traced these areas. And most of them were, most of those groups that we can identify as descended from Joseph, from either from Ephraim or Manasseh, came to the British Isles. We were able to locate specific groups and say that these groups were Israelites through legends and names and a variety of different identifying signs, and also very often the very names of these different groups are similar to the names of Israelite tribes or of tribal groups within the tribal clans within the tribes of Israel. We know there's a predominance of tribes, different tribes, or different tribal groups in the British Isles, including Ireland. We also noticed some in Germany, and our studies have shown that those who were in Germany or in Holland and in related areas moved in the 1700s and 1800s to the USA, to North America. They, as if to say, picked everything up, and they moved altogether en masse to North America, and they were different from those who stayed behind. This might sound, this sounds a little bit anti-instinctive. But this is apparently what did happen. There are also indications that it happened elsewhere in different parts of Europe, that you would have two villages, and the people from one village would pick everything up and move to America, whilst the people from the other village would all remain behind. So they weren't necessarily pushed out by economic or social forces, even though these two were a function. And we relate the people who came to North America to the descendants of Manasseh. Also, amongst the early settlers of the USA, most of them came from Scotland or from Irish Scots or from specific areas of Britain. And in these areas where maybe more than 85% of the early settlers of the USA came from, there were nearly always areas that can be apportioned to Manasseh. So we assume that Manasseh became predominant in the USA, and this is confirmed by different aspects of the American character. The very name Menasha in Hebrew means representative, functional representation. It means in Hebrew, Menasha connotes giving over authority to a representative
government.
To representative government, and that's what the USA stands for. That is what the whole U.S. Constitution stands for, and that is what the meaning of Menasha in Hebrew connotes. We have related related words in Hebrew. You have the word for forgetting, Noshe or Noshia, because when you forget something, you don't actually lose it. It just moves from one part of your mind to another part, as if it slipped your mind. As if that's what they use. That's the expression "slipped your mind," because that is what happened. It's still there. It's just moved. The file, as if to say, has gone to another part of your mental computer. And so so this word in Hebrew means to move or to slip or to play something in the domain of another and have it represent you. So to a creditor is called a noshe, because he has a claim on you. Or the women in the plural are called nashim, because they have a claim on their husbands. Samson Raphael Hirsch explains this in great detail. And so to the very name Menasha also represents this idea of proportional representation or functional representation. And also the very name America itself is derived from the name Machia. Machia was the firstborn son of Menasha. And his name in medieval Latin, Machia in Hebrew, or Ha-Machiri, was written up as America or America or Americo, and this name was used in its Latinized form in southern France and in northern Italy. And Amerigo Vespucci, who was an Italian sailor who was in the service of the king of Spain and after that the king of England, he proved that the North America shortly after the time of Columbus. He proved that the American continent was a continent. It wasn't part of Asia, and he mapped the area. So America is named after him. And when we say America, America can mean the continent of America, but in common speech, America means the USA. So you could say that by divine providence so willed that the USA would be named after America. And America is another form of the Hebrew word Machia. Machia was the firstborn son of America. So the very name of America is derived from the firstborn son of Menasha. Also, Machia in Hebrew has several meanings. One of the meanings is capitalism. Machia is to sell. And America is based on the principle of free enterprise, of selling. So we see here, even in the very names given to a country, the divine providence gave us an intimation as to the Israelite identity.
Yeah, if sometimes you hear like a silence, it's not that we're not listening. We're glued to our headset, since we know our listeners are as well. And myself personally, I've always known, that's why I studied in Israel, the fact that the Hebrew language is a unique language, is set aside from the English language, that the words have meanings, the names carry meanings, just like words have meanings to it. And you're really, really giving us a lesson today, which I personally love.
Oh, I can't even speak. I'm thrilled over what I'm learning. And I've read the book, so you just reminded me of some information that I had forgotten. And I wanted to ask, does it appear that maybe the time of Manasseh might be over? I know he was, Ephraim and Manasseh was given a separate blessing. Could it be, I'm just curious, that timing is ending?
I don't know. I can't say.
Well, we see...
Our impression is that in the end time, there will be troubles. Jacob, there will be troubles for Jacob. There will be all of these Israelite tribes will be faced with troubles. They will have to reach a decision. They will have to once again turn back to the God of Israel. And traumatic experiences will occur. And eventually a leader will arise who will tell them, or he will be aware of the Israelite identity. and he will save them from their troubles, and he will begin the process of returning them to the land of Israel and reunifying them with Judah. And this person is named in the Hebrew, in Jewish or rabbinical tradition, as a Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach means anointed. It's translated as Messiah, but doesn't necessarily mean Messiah in the way we understand it. Anyone who has an official position could be considered a Mashiach. So the anointed leader of Joseph, and he will bring the tribes, all of those tribes back, but especially those of Joseph. He will return them to the land of Israel, and he will reunite them, will initiate their reunification with Judah. And sometime after that, then the Mashiach, the son of David, will appear, and he will complete the process. But when this happens and how it's going to happen, we cannot say. And this is all for the future. It's all, we can only do what we know, and as we know it. And I think that now we're reaching a crucial time, an important time when people will have to make a decision one way or the other, or they have to have a reckoning with themselves and with God and return to God Almighty. But in my opinion, the greatness of Joseph is not finished. Joseph will always have a role to play, and this role was one of the reasons why Joseph was destined to lose his identity. The Bible suggests that when the tribes were lost, when the tribes separated themselves from Judah, so the king of Judah, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, wanted to go up and fight with them and forcibly reunify them. And the prophet came to him, told him, "Do not do this, because this thing is from me," says God. God told him, "This thing is from me," and we have a lot of signs in the prophecy that God says that he had a reason for the division from Judah and for the lost tribes losing their identity, and one part of the reason was that they should go down, they should become like the Gentiles, and then evolve, come upwards and bring the rest of the world with them and teach the rest of the world to humanize mankind, as if to say, and they have done that. Some degree they have done that. They're the only element in world history that has done that, and they're still doing it. And my opinion is that they still have an ongoing role to play, and that the Almighty wants them to continue this and even to intensify it. Joseph, both Ephraim and Manasseh, do have roles in history to play, and that their time of greatness is not finished. But I could be wrong. We should. No one really knows.
One of the first YouTubes, and the people can go in and find it, that I saw of you was when you were talking about Ezekiel 37 and the two sticks.
Yes, and Ezekiel 37 speaks of the two sticks, the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah, the stick of Ephraim and the stick of Judah, when they shall be united and they shall become one. In the hand of the prophet, and also in the hand of God Almighty, as if to say the initiation has to come from below, from humanity, from the Israelites themselves, who the prophet represents, and then God will confirm it. And he also says that in the end times, the two parts of the Israel will be reunited, and they will become one nation under one king. And each tribe should dwell in its own area, and once again, there shall be one nation. But this is not, when this happens, no one really knows. We can only do what we have to do as we find the situation before our eyes at present.
Yeah, this is Rachel again. Let me just tell you that Cindy and I have always thought about the two sticks as being almost the two strands of DNA which twirl around to make the unity. In Talmud, it does teach, doesn't it, that the 10 tribes will be reunited with the tribes.
Yes. Also in Ezekiel 37, it says this. Also, it says that in Isaiah 10,
mm-hmm.
In the fact that throughout the prophets, this is a prophecy, and prophecy is part of the Bible, which we have to believe in. We have to believe that this is what is going to happen, because it's what God Himself said. But we don't know when it will happen or how it will happen. We just have to be assured that it will happen at some time or other. As for DNA, I'm not sure to what degree DNA findings may be attributed to environment or to hereditary. Hereditary definitely does play a part.
Mm-hmm.
This, part of DNA definitely is transmitted from father to son and from mother to daughter. And all what we receive, we inherit things from our parents, but to some. So, and also we can determine things from DNA. If we find someone at the scene of an accident, for instance, God forbid, we can determine who the victims are. And we can use DNA for all kinds of things like that. But at some stage or other, we also, now they're realizing that DNA has been influenced, is influenced at certain stages in its development through environment. And how far back it is, we can use it to trace different races or different peoples, is debatable.
Well, we actually, I had worked with somebody, John Entine, who wrote a book called Abraham's Children, The DNA of the Chosen. And this was
I read that book. I've read it.
Yes, and I've worked with John. And this was somebody, that actually didn't even believe when he first started that there would show a lineage all the way back to Abraham. And, of course, the DNA was lining up. There was no way to go against what science had brought forward. But we just encourage our listeners to, we're going to post something about Yair because we really, I believe I am one of your closest students because I'm glued to every letter that you send me. And we just feel that it could benefit so many people. And the BRITAM, I mean, I guess that would stand for Britain and America, so it's an easy way to put it together, and it's .org, BRITAM.org. And we really, really encourage people, if you feel this draw towards knowing where those lost tribes went, this is the website to visit. And not just visit, get the books, because it is like having a playground of information. Even though the Tribes is textbook, it is used reference after reference after reference. Cindy and I crack that thing open constantly to affirm and reaffirm what we believe is true.
Absolutely. What a joy it has been to have you with us. Thank you. Thank you for your time and all of the energy.
And we hope that you'll come back with us, Yair, if that's possible.
Oh, I'll be very happy to. Thank you. I hope the next time I'll be able to speak more fluently with you.
We think you're wonderful.
God be with you, Hashem.
We think you're wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll talk to you soon, and shalom, and the best to everyone. And I will get in contact. We will get in contact with you and look forward to another show with Yair Davidi.
Shalom.
Good, thank you very much. Shalom.
Shalom, Yair.
You're attuned to the Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Gray Show on Glory 1330 WGTJ and Glory1330.com. Ladies, we got another caller on the line who wants to ask a question, but also I wanted to mention to you is that we have a group of people here from our local area. There are three preachers that are on our station. They'll be heading to Israel tomorrow, and I'm really excited to see what's going on. You know, the Davidi talking to us about what's going on there. As they head to Israel, one pastor and his wife for the first time are getting on a plane.
Oh,
okay, and heading to Israel, and all this going on right now. So we're looking for the prayers for those. But we have three men who are on our station here will be heading to Israel tomorrow, about a couple of weeks after also. So you can be a part of our program by calling 770-297-7485 in Dawsonville and Dahlonega, 706-531-1330. Toll free nationwide, 866-876-9485. Ready for a question, ladies?
Sure.
All right, you're on the air.
Need help?
Whoops, I just dropped the phone call. I'm sorry about that. Call back, please. And we also have someone who wants to know to answer your question a little earlier that you posed. You want to give that question again to you, ladies?
Yes, that question was, how long did Jacob have to wait to wed Rachel after being tricked into marrying Leah? And I'm not sure if somebody's called in with that for the answer, for the 25 buckaroos.
All right, our caller's back, the one who had the questions back on the air. You're back on. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, hello. I just had a question, and just like Yair was saying, that nobody knows about the end. And even the Bible says no one really knows the day or the hour. Doesn't that prove that we shouldn't even try to figure out what the end time date is?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because just like I had said with Yair, if you're not familiar with the Hebrew language, it's very hard to understand the Hebrew idiom. That no day, no hour that you're talking about is actually a Hebrew festival. It's called No Day, No Hour, Lo Yom Lo Shaah. And for no day, no hour meant because the Sanhedrin only allowed certain witnesses to see the new moon. That was a direct hint of exactly when the day was coming or the time period. So it would be the new moon festival or the Feast of Trumpets, something that was indicative of having at least two witnesses that say the new moon appeared. So actually getting a no day, no hour was a very strong hint of exactly when it was going to be. Thank you for the call.
All right, thank you very much. We got someone who's answered the question, ladies, on line number one for us right now, okay?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Is it a week? You had to be married to Leo.
Wow! You got it. Our first winner for $25 Visa card. Listen, thank you so much. But you know what? It's so funny. When you had called to say that it was the seven years, that's what has been preached from the pulpits, but it's, you've got to read the whole thing. He did have to work for 7 years, but he got her in 7 days. He got her the first week. But, you know, he promised to work the 7 years. That's how when we read something that we think we see, not what it actually says.
Right.
That's why this show is your learning tool for the Bible.
And that was such a great discussion. I loved it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We'll just hold on. We'll get some information from you, and you can come by and pick up your gift card. We'll get you on the line here with Patricia. So hold on. We'll get some information from you, ladies.
Well, I think next week, I hope you all turn in. Is that going to be Dr. Hansen?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Dr. Hansen, a scholar that is on the History Channel quite a bit. He's translated the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Qumran Scrolls, the Copper Scrolls. He's just absolutely phenomenal. He is going to go over the text with us and get to the Hebraic meaning. Because, listen, if somebody doesn't understand the idioms or the meanings, the slang behind the Hebrew text, you're going to lose the actual meaning. And I've said this before, if we were speaking to somebody that had just a slight understanding of the English language and said, listen, I'm on a shoestring budget, they wouldn't have any idea what that meant. You must understand the language. And that's why we invite you to join us every week for some advice and some questions, and we like to learn as well.
We are absolutely learning together, and these are exciting times.
And we will also want our listeners to go to the Bible, just like that caller did. Don't take our word for it. Research it yourself. This is how we learn. We stretch our mind, and we go back and reread, and sometimes the answers will just pop up, and you'll see them right in front of you.
It is. It's fun when you, what I call a lot of times, get a revelation knowledge or a thought, and it's so exciting that you're really seeing it as it is written for the first time.
And we really hope that you enjoyed listening to Yair, because we're really going to have him back on the show. He'll be on the ground from Israel, giving it to you straight from Israel, not from somebody who knows somebody in Israel, but this is on the ground news. And if his listeners, I know Yair has a big following, we want them to know how much we appreciate his knowledge and his scholarship.
And please go into his website. You will learn so much. You won't believe it.
That's britam.org.
Yeah.
And come visit us at the station as well.
All right, ladies, thanks for being with us this morning here on Glory 1330 WGTJ and online at glory1330.com. Our thanks to Karen, who won the gift card this morning. Also to Yair Davidian. Really enjoyed hearing from him. You can hear the program every Wednesday morning at 10:06 on Glory 1330 WGTJ and online at glory1330.com.